Chapter 31, page 176. We started looking at some of this last week. We'll start again at the beginning of the chapter. Lesson 31 and lesson 32 will cover verbs that are in the middle or passive voices. So this chapter will be continuing forms of the verb. So based on the present stem, lesson 32 will be completed forms of the verb based on the aorist stem. So these are verbs that in the present, in the continuing form of the verb in the present, end in omai. So we have baptizomai, I am being baptized, and ebaptizomen, I was being baptized. That's the present tense and the imperfect, both expressing continuing action. So, section one, we have baptizomai. Verb, I am being baptized, I am baptized. So I am being baptized, that's something that is happening to me, being done by somebody else. Paradidomai, I am being betrayed. So I am the sort of the one receiving the action, or I'm handed over. So those are both passive, what we call in the passive voice. The endings of baptizomai are the same as those of ginomai that we covered in lesson 29. So we have omai, e, etai, omatha, esthe, ontai. Okay, so let's repeat those. Omai, e, etai, omatha, esthe, ontai. So these get added on to the end of the stem. So we'd have, for example, baptizomatha, baptizomatha. We are being baptized. And paradidontai, they are being betrayed or handed over. Okay, section two, we have some examples. Baptizomai hupo tu apostolu. Baptizomai hupo tu apostolu. I am being baptized. And then a participle, a prepositional phrase. By the apostle, and chronomatha hufhumon, we are being judged by you. Another prepositional phrase. And then a note, when the action of the verb is done by a person, we often use hupa, which preposition meaning by, and note that hupa gets abbreviated before if the next word begins with a vowel, becomes hup. And if it's before a rough breathing, it's huf. Okay? So now we have eight sentences showing this at work. Number one, baptizontai hupo yuanu. Baptizontai hupo yuanu. So baptizontai. Third person plural. They are being baptized by who? By John. Krinitai hupo tu kuriu. Krinitai hupo tu kuriu. Krinitai, third singular. He is being judged by the Lord. Number three. Yesu paradide hupo tu yuda. Yesu paradide hupa tu yuda. Jesus paradide is second singular. You are being betrayed hupa tu yuda by Judas. Number four, baptizatai hupa tu he gune. Baptizatai hupa tu he gune. Baptizatai, third singular. He or she or it is being baptized. And then we get the subject at the end, hegune, in the nominative case. So it's the woman is being baptized, hupau tu, by him. With the preposition there abbreviated in front of the vowel. Number five, agapomatha, hupau tu theou. Agapomatha hupa tu theou. So I think this is the first time we've seen a passive of the verb agapao. The omatha ending there will tell us it's a passive as opposed to an active. The omega is there because the stem is agapa, ending in an alpha, and then the ending is omatha, so you have alpha, omega, alpha, omicron combined to omega. We are loved by God. 6. Baptizethe pantes hupo Ioannou tu baptistou. Baptizethe pantes hupo Ioannou tu baptistou. So baptizethe, second plural, you, pantes, all, are being baptized by John the Baptist. 7. Ubaptizomai hufumon. Ubaptizomai hufumon. Baptizomai, first singular. I am baptized. I am being baptized. In this case, negated. I am not being baptized by you. And finally, erkontai pros Ioannen hina baptizontai huf autou. Erkontai pros Ioannen hina baptizontai huf autou. Erkontai, third plural of erkomai, they come pros Ioannen, prepositional phrase, to John. Then we have a hina clause giving the purpose, so that baptizontai, they might be baptized by him. And there, just as we saw in the active voice for a subjunctive, the vowel at the that comes right after the stem, the vowel that begins the ending, is lengthened. So from ontai to ontai, from an omicron to omega. Right? Remember we saw that for active verbs? That marks a subjunctive. Okay, section 3. Baptizomai hudati or baptizomai en hudati both mean I am baptized with water. When the action of the verb is carried out by means of a thing, by or with is shown in a couple of different ways. Firstly, by the form or case of the word, in this case with the dative case. We can think of the dative case as the by, with, or from case. And you then have to use context to decide what preposition in English we want to use there when they're not using a preposition in Greek. So baptizetai hudati, if you recognize hudati as being a dative, then you say, okay, well, it can be by, or it can be with, or it can be from, or something like that. And then you use context to determine what the appropriate thing or preposition in English is. So in this case, he is baptized with water, so by means of water. Te aletheia sotsethe. Te aletheia sotsethe. Te aletheia, the dative, in this case feminine singular. Sotsethe, you are being saved. By, with, or from, well, by the truth fits there. And the alternative, and so that we call, we tend to call that something like an instrumental dative. So it's sort of the instrument by which something is being carried out. Then the alternative way is to use a preposition, a prepositional phrase, so en followed by the dative, a word in the dative case, and we call that word then the object of the preposition. So, baptizomai en hudati. Baptizomai en hudati. Hudati is in the dative, and it's the object of the preposition, en. And so we say that en takes the dative. Some prepositions can take its can have their object in several different cases, and then the meaning of the preposition differs according to which case the object's in. En only takes the dative. So baptizomai en hudati, I am being baptized with water. Apoktenetai and machere. Apoktenetai and machere. He is being killed, and machere with a sword. So, going back to the top of the page, baptizomai hudati and baptizomai en hudati both have exactly the same meaning. There's no nuance of difference between them. It's just two alternative ways of expressing this. And then Dobson notes there seems to be a similar use of en in 2 Corinthians 5:19, hoti theos en en Christo kosmon katalason heato. Hoti theos en Christo kosmon katalaso heato. That God was, so we have God en was katalason, a participle going with the en. He was reconciling kosmon, the object, the world, to himself in en Christo, by means of Christ or through Christ. So that Christ is the instrument that God is using to reconcile the world to himself.
So some of the examples use the genitive, right?
Well, right, because they're with a different preposition. So what we're going to have to learn as we get on to now sort of the more technical parts of the language is that when you learn a preposition, you have to learn the case that it takes, that the object is in. And for most prepositions, the object is in one particular case. So that there are prepositions that take the genitive, prepositions that take the dative, and prepositions that take the accusative. And then there are a few prepositions that can take multiple cases. And the meaning of the preposition then changes according to when the object is in the accusative or the genitive or the dative.
So in this passive mode, it may be different, dative, genitive, accusative.
Well, for N, it has to be dative. N only takes... N always, the object of N is always in the dative.
How about
hupo? Hupo is in the genitive. Yeah.
Do verbs also take specifications? Because I know, like, to be, I was reading the Lord's Prayer last week, and, I noticed that, the last verse of the Lord's Prayer, it had a bunch of stuff that was all in the nominative case.
Well, for a verb, usually, if it's a transitive verb, if you remember from your English grammar what a transitive verb is, so a transitive verb has an object. All verbs have a subject.
Okay.
The subject may not be specified, it may be implicit within the verb, but if there is a subject expressed as a separate noun, it's going to be in the nominative, and then a transitive verb has an object. And that object's going to be in the accusative.
Okay.
An intransitive verb does not have an object. And then there are some verbs can be used transitively or intransitively.
So like an intransitive verb.
Well, so you could have one that can be used both ways is like kick. So you could have I kick the ball.
Okay.
The ball there is the object. I is the subject. Kick the verb. The ball, object. Or you could just say I kick. And there is no object. There are some verbs. So some verbs you can use either way, particularly in English. Some verbs you can use only transitively. Some you can use only intransitively.
Does that correspond? Like, are transitive verbs in English the same as active verbs in Greek?
No. Whether it's transitive or intransitive purely has to do with whether it has an object, whether the verb has an object.
And being active in Greek is something different?
No. So being if it's active, I kick the ball. So kick there is active. Actually, in the passive, usually you wouldn't have a direct object, but you're going to have an indirect object. You can then turn that around and say the ball was kicked by me. So in that case, the ball now is the subject, was kicked is now in the passive, and then you have an indirect object, by me.
So then intransitive verbs in English correspond to the middle voice?
No, you can have intransitive verbs that are active.
Maybe I don't understand the difference then. I thought the active is done to something and middle doesn't take a direct object.
Well, it's true that so active verbs you have the subject is doing the action. Passive verbs, the subject is receiving the action, and in middle verbs, the subject is both doing and receiving the action. So they're reflexive.
Okay. So if the subject is doing the action and there's no object, there's no recipient, then it would be active.
No, it's just if the subject is doing the action, it is active. It doesn't matter whether there's a recipient or not. Whether there's an object, that has to do with whether it's transitive or intransitive. The one doing the action, whether the subject is doing the action or receiving the action or acting upon himself, that's what determines whether it's active, middle, or passive, or middle.
Okay.
You're not convinced by that.
I think that middle is reflexive, but then I guess I can't think of any verb where the subject is, or any verb where there's no object that wouldn't be active, with a subject doing an action. If the recipient is himself, then it's middle. And if if someone else is doing it to him, then it's passive. Or we can maybe.
So in the active voice, I kick. So kick there can be used transitively, intransitively. So I kick, I is the subject, kick is the verb, the subject is doing the action of it, and we can express an object or not express an object. So in the active voice, it can be used transitively or intransitively. It has nothing to do with the voice that the verb is in. It has to do with, is there an object of the verb? In the middle, the subject and the object are the same. And then in the passive, the subject is receiving the action, and then now the one who is giving the action generally would then have to be expressed in an indirect form.
Okay. I think that was my original question. The part in the Lord's Prayer, it's actually the last verse of the Lord's Prayer, mm-hmm. The kingdom, the power of the Lord is forever. Amen. Mm-hmm. Which is not in the verse, because that last verse is, that last part of 6:13 is kind of one of those ones in mm-hmm. brackets in a lot of mm-hmm. Bibles. So this text doesn't have it. So. Mm-hmm. But that one, each one of those, nine is the power of the kingdom of glory, is all, each one of those is nominative. And I was wondering.
Yeah, because it would be, to you is the kingdom. So to you,
or
thine.
So yours is, yours is is genitive.
Okay. Genitive, yours is.
And then, Eston.
Mm-hmm.
The kingdom, the power of the
Lord. You're right. So, what's the subject of the verb? Well, it's kingdom. So, the kingdom and the power and all of that is, or we would then say are, because now we've got multiple subjects.
They are of you.
Of you. They are yours. Mm-hmm. So, it's just that in the way that's been rendered into English, they put the possessive first. So nominative is only used for the subject. Accusative can be used either for expressing the direct object, or it can be used with prepositional phrases as the case for the object of the preposition with certain prepositions. For prepositions, they can take one of three different cases, accusative, genitive, dative. We'll then just have to learn and get familiar with which case a preposition takes. Okay, section 4. Some vocabulary. Tis, this is a word we've met before. Someone or anyone. Or it can be used even as a, just as a sort of an indefinite article. Tinez is the plural. Tinez, some people or some. Ti is the neuter, meaning something or anything. Ace is one. And it comes in three forms. Eis, mia, hen, for masculines, feminine, and singular. So you have to put this in the appropriate gender for the noun that it goes with. And then it also declines. It has forms for nominative, accusative, genitive, dative. So, for example, eis aner agapa mian ganaika. Eis aner agapa mian ganaika. The eis there, eis, is nominative, masculine, singular, going with aner, heis aner, one man, and then he loves. Mian ganaika. Mian is accusative, feminine, singular, going with ganaika, which is the object.
Is it like an adjective?
Yes. You think of it? Yeah, it's an adjective. Mia gune agapa hena andra. Mia gune agapa hena andra. So this now has been turned around. Mia now is feminine singular, now in the nominative, with gune in the nominative, and then hena andra is now the object. So andra is accusative, and so hena is now put into the accusative. Udes and medes. Udes and medes, no one or nobody. And in the neuter, it's uden and meden. Uden, meden, nothing. Now we have some more numbers. Dua is two. Dua. Deka, 10. Dodeka, 12. So there you sort of added the dua and the deka together. Dodeka. Tres. Tres is three. And triakonta. Triakonta, 30. So a tres added to a konta. 3 times 10, and triakosioi, 300. Triakosioi, 300. Now you're going to find, as we learn the numbers, you know most of the numbers because they get used in English words and then in Spanish. All right, so they'll have carried over from Greek into Latin and then into the modern Romance languages. And then even something like dodeca, well, you know that from a dodecahedron, a 12-sided. 12-faced shape, solid object. To onoma, the name, and in the genitive, to onomatos of the name. To hudor, the water, from which we get hydro, and all the words having to do with water. And in the genitive, to hudatos, ta horas, the mountain. Alalas is dumb. From the verb laleo, I speak, and then an alpha is added onto the front to make it negative, what we call a privative alpha, just like we do with some words in English. Hepistis is the faith or the trust. Dia pisteos, a prepositional phrase through faith. Hecharis, the grace or graciousness or favor. When used with reference to God, charis indicates his attitude of loving favor and his consequent loving action. So it's both the attitude and the action. And paradidomi, I hand on, I hand over. So it can be used in the sense of I hand over, in the sense of betraying. So when Judas betrays Jesus to the Jewish authorities, this is the verb that's used. It can also get used of handing over something that you have in turn received. So this paradidomi ten paradosen, I hand on the tradition. And this was a familiar Jewish concept, and we get it a number of times in the New Testament, that tradition is something that you receive from the previous generation, the verb there, paralambano, and then you hand it over on to the next generation, paradidomi, and then the related noun, what we call the cognate noun that's derived from that verb, is this paradosen or paradosis in the nominative. So paradosen is the thing that's handed on, and that's what tradition is what you've received from the previous generation and you then hand on to the next generation. And Paul, for example, says that a number of times in his epistles. For that which I received to the Lord, I hand on to you. Jesus refers to this in his interactions with the Pharisees and so on.
Is didomi an active verb?
Didomi there, didomi is middle or passive.
Oh,
okay. Well, actually, sorry, in this case then, it is being used as an active with then ten paradosen as the object of it.
So it just looks a little different
from
most of the verbs. So it's not another category.
It's a different form, a different conjugation that we'll then learn. Okay, section 5. Some sentences. Number 1, erketai tis pros tahudor. Erketai tis pros tahudor. Erketai, he, she, or it is coming, and the subject is tis, which just means someone, anyone, a particular person is coming pros tahudor to the water. Prepositional phrase. Baptitse tina hudati. Baptitse tina hudati. Baptitse, he, she, or it baptizes. The object is tina in the accusative case, and this is just means someone, a particular person. He baptizes someone. Hudati as a dative, instrumental dative, with water. Baptizatai en hudati hupa tinos. Baptizatai en hudati hupa tinos. Baptizatai, he is baptized. En hudati, prepositional phrase, with water. Hupa tinos, by someone. For erketai gune tis pros ta horos. Erketai gune tis pros ta oros. Erketai, he, she, or it comes. The subject is gune tis. So it's a woman. And tis there, you could either translate a certain woman or just a woman, some woman, or here simply take it, a woman is coming pros ta oros toward the mountain. Ek Nazaret dunatai te agathon elthane. Ek Nazaret dunatai te agathon elthane. Dunatai is the verb. He, she, or it is able. The subject is te agathon as a neuter. Something good or anything good. So agathos is good. In this case, is neuter, a good thing. And te, some good thing. Elthane, to come. Aorist infinitive, complementing dunatai. And then ek Nazaret, out of Nazareth. And then this is all a question. So we turn it te agathon. Can something good, or something good, is it able to to come out of Nazareth. Number 6. Ektes Galileas, dunatai te agathon enai. Ektes Galileas, dunatai te agathon enai. So another question set up a similar way. Dunatai, again the verb. Te agathon, our subject again. Something good or anything good. So can anything good. And then now the complementary infinitive is enai, the infinitive of the verb to be. So can anything good be ektes Galileas, from Galilee? Number 7. Eantis phage ek tutu tu artu zese eston aiona. Eantis phage ek tutu tu artu zese eston aiona. Ean is if, and it will take a subjunctive, that's phage, ending in a eta instead of epsilon iota. And tis is the subject, someone, anyone. So if anyone eats ek tutu tu artu, from this loaf, this bread, zese, he will live eston aiona forever. Eston aiona, literally, to the age, the aeon, and that really means to the age, to the age to come, the age when God puts everything right, and into the what we would call the eschaton, the end time. 8. Erketai eston matheton, kai baptizetai hudati hupo Ioannou ento onomati tu theou. Erketai eston matheton, kai baptizetai hudati hupo Ioannou ento onomati tu theou. The subject there, eston matheton, so ace one, eston matheton, the ton matheton, put in the genitive, one of the disciples. Erketai comes or is coming, kai baptizetai, and is baptized, hudati, instrumental dative, with water, and then a prepositional phrase, hupo Ioannou, by John, and then another prepositional phrase, ento onomati tu theou, in the name of God. Number 9, te charite sotsomatha dia pisteos, kai udes sotsetai tois ergois autu. Te charite sotsomatha dia pisteos, kai udes sotsetai tois ergois autu. Sotsomatha, the verb, we are being saved. And now we have, that's being modified by te charite. So in the dative, instrumental dative, we are being saved by grace or with grace. And then prepositional phrase, dia pisteos, through faith. And then now another clause, kai udes sotsetai, and no one is being saved, tois ergois autu, another instrumental dative, by means of the deeds that he does, by means of his deeds, his work. So as these sentences get more and more complex, what you have to do is look at them and look for the little pieces. And so there you go around, well, te charite, okay, recognize that's dative. It's not a good place to start with. So you look and you find a verb, so it's somatha. And then you see, well, that's in turn being modified by te charite, and it's being modified via pisteos. So you sort of break it down into these little building blocks and then work your way back up.
But now I have a question. Number 7.
Mm-hmm.
Why is the verb fogging, using errors?
It has to do with the fact that it's put there into the first part of this conditional statement. If anyone eats, with eating there viewed as a as a single action. If anyone eats, because the condition is they haven't even eaten, but if anyone eats even just as one single action rather than an ongoing action. Number 10, katabainanton, ton dodeka, ektu orus, autos anebe, esta oras kat idian. Katabainanton, ton dodeka, ektu orus, autos anebe, esta oras kat idian. Katabainanton, a participle in the genitive. And it's a present participle, so going down, and it's the going down of the dodeka, the 12. This is a standard way in the Gospels of referring to the 12 disciples. So the 12 going down or coming down from the mountain, autos, he, anebe, went up, and that's now an aorist. He went up esta oras to the mountain, or onto the mountain, katadian, by himself. So the 12, the coming down of the 12, that is ongoing action while he does this singular action of going up. Okay, so we could then translate while they were coming down. And number 11. Alolas estin kai udunatai meden medeni legain perites pistios autu. Alolas estin kai udunatai meden medeni legain perites pistios autu. Alolas estin, he is dumb. So alolas, a adjective describing the implicit subject of Eston. Kai udunatai, and he is not able, legain, the infinitive going with that, to say. Meden is the accusative, that's the object, and medeni is dative, that's the indirect object. So he's not able to say anything to anyone. And then a prepositional phrase, peri, about, taking the genitive, tes pistios, out to his faith. Okay. Section 6. Now we get the imperfect. So continuing action in the past. Ebaptizomen. With an epsilon in front, indicating this is past tense. And the endings are omen, u, eta, ometha, este, onta. Omen, u, eta, ometha, este, onta. So in a number of cases, similar to the present endings, the first and second plural are identical. Third plural is a little different, onta instead of ontai, and then a little more different in the singular. So these mean I was being baptized, you were being baptized, and so on. So four sentences illustrating this. Number one, exe paruonta pros auton hoi Jerusalemitai pantes kai paloi ebaptizonta hupautu. Exe poruonta prosauton hoi Jerusalemitai pantes kai paloi ebaptizonta hupautu. Exe poruonta, so third plural, they were going out. So poruomai, we had a couple of weeks ago, journeying. And add on X on the front, so it's journeying out of. And the subject of that is hoi Jerusalemitai, the Jerusalemites. i.e. the people of Jerusalem, we're journeying out, we're going out, prosauton, prepositional phrase, to him, kai paloi, and many, ebaptizonta, third plural, we're being baptized, hupautu, by him. Number two, erchantai, hoi dodeka, kai legusin, hoti tres, echomen, artus, kai triaconta, ik thuas. Erchantai, hoi dodeka, kai legusin, hoti tres, echomen, artus, kai triaconta, ik thuas. Erchantai, third plural present, the 12 come, kai legusin, and say, and then take the hoti as open quotation marks. Ekomen, we have tres artus, three loaves, and triakonta, and 30 fish. Ikthuas. And ikthuas, you'll know ikthus as fish from the early Christian symbol. Number three. Hoi dua apostoloi epemponta hupa tu kuriu kai epoyun ta erga autu. Hoi dua apostoloi epemponta hupa tu kuriu kai epoyun ta erga autu. Hoi dua apostoloi, the two disciples, the two apostles, epemponta, from pempo, to send, I send, epeponta, third plural, it's a passive, we're being sent, and prepositional phrase, hupato kuriu, by the Lord, and they were doing ta erga autu, his works. Number four, udes sotsetai, tois idiois, ergois alla esotsamatha te chariti tu theu. Udes sotsetai tois idiois ergois alla esotsamatha te chariti tu theu. Udes, no one. Sotsetai, third singular, is being saved. Third singular, tois idiois ergois. Dative, instrumental dative, by his own works. But etzotsamatha, now we are being saved, so first plural, and another instrumental dative, te charity tu theu, by the grace of God. Okay. So verbs like sotso and pempo and things, they have an active form. That's how we first met. Sotso is an act, as an active verb. And here we add on the endings for the passive or middle. And that's what then turns it into this passive form of the verb.
So, I guess maybe this is just this particular example, but shouldn't that be like an aorist type? As a zamatha? We're being saved, and it's kind of a, I mean, saved is kind of a,
That's your theology being read into that.
I kind of go like, well, I don't know, just like, mm-hmm. This is not an actual verse, is it?
No, this isn't an actual verse, this is a made-up verse, but viewing the being saved as an ongoing action, rather than a punctiliar action, in which case it would indeed be in the aorist.
Mm-hmm. But just that the English translation didn't make sense, being saved, right? You know, wouldn't it be more like, okay, you were being saved at the time?
Well, we would want to put it into we were saved as a single point in time action, and this is looking at it as being as this ongoing action But that's because we look at it as being there's a point in time in which you were not saved, and then instantaneously now there's a point in time now that you are saved. But sozo, the idea of saving in Scripture, certainly initially, it's not just spiritual salvation, but it's his physical salvation, and God intervenes to deliver his people. And that can then, depends on where you are and how you're looking at it, you can describe that as a singular action, or you can describe it as being while it's going on, while God is in the process of saving his people. Whether that is physically, well, looking back in the Old Testament, it's always happening physically, and then acquires a spiritual meaning, but that is an ongoing thing. Okay, section 7. We have the present participle and the present infinitive. So baptizesthai, that's the present infinitive, to be baptized, and baptizomenos, the present participle, being baptized. So we can have ento baptizesthai auton, while he was being baptized, baptizesthai auton, where we have the infinitive there, what we call the articular infinitive that we met a couple of weeks ago. Baptizomenon auton, elthen grammatus tis, baptizomenon auton, elthen grammatus tis. So baptizomenon, present participle, and it's in the genitive plural, going with auton, as they were being, they're being baptized, then is the setting for elthen, he came, elthen aorist, built on the aorist stem, elth. And the subject of that being grammatus tis, a certain scribe, or simply a scribe. So while they were being baptized, a scribe came. The baptizomenon, the present participle, indicating that's ongoing action when the scribe came. And Jesus hologomenos Christos. Jesus hologomenos Christos. So Jesus, logomenos, from Lego, which we've currently always seen in the active, here in the passive, logomenos for called or spoken about as a present participle, nominative, singular. So Jesus, hologomenos, called, or the one called, Messiah. And that's a reasonably frequent form in the Greek New Testament. Jesus, hologomenos, the one called. So, for example, in the letters to a couple of the churches in Revelation, in Smyrna and Philadelphia, there's the so-called synagogue of Satan. And so it would use this, hologomenos, and then synagogue. And we have five sentences here. Number one, uk elthamen baptizesthai ala baptizein. Uk elthamen baptizesthai ala baptizein. Uk elthamen, we did not come to baptizesthai, so the present passive infinitive, to be baptized ala baptizein. Now we have the active infinitive, but to baptize. Eden autus baptizomenus. Eden autus baptizomenus. Eden, he saw, autus, the object, them, baptizomenus, being baptized, present participle, agreeing with autus, so accusative plural. Number three, trace apostoloi apostelontai hupa tu kuriu. Trace apostoloi apostelontai hupa tu kuriu. Trace apostoloi, three apostles. Apostelontai, present, third, plural, passive, are being sent, hupotu kuriu, by the Lord. Four, hoi prophetai, pheromenoi, hupa pneumatos, hagiu elalesan. Hoi prophetai, pheromenoi, hupa pneumatos, hagiu elalesan. Hoi prophetai, the prophets, pheromenoi, from pharaoh, bear, I bear or carry. Here, nominative, plural, masculine, passive participle, being carried along or born or carried, hupo pneumatos hagiu, by the Holy Spirit, elalesan, they spoke. And finally, hoi hagioi dunantai hupa tu pneumatos tu hagiu therestai. Hoi hagioi dunantai hupa tu pneumatos tu hagiu therestai. Hoi hagioi, the saints, dunantai, third plural present, they are able. And then the complementary infinitive for that, therestai, to be carried along. Pherestai is a passive present infinitive, to be carried along. Hupa tu pneumatus tu hagiu, by the Holy Spirit.
Is this what it means when they say that they're in the Holy Spirit?
No, saying in the Holy Spirit, they would use N. Okay. N plus the dative. So it'd be N pneumati. In the Spirit. And one more. Number six. Eis elthen, eis anthropos, eis ten oikian, kai emenen en te oikia, hemeras triakonta, kai mian. Eis elthen, eis anthropos, eis ten oikian, kai emenen en te oikia, hemeras triakonta, kai mian. Aeselfen, he went into, he entered as an aorist, so singular action. Ace anthropos, one man. So in this instance, ace means one, but it's really being used just like an indefinite article, so a man. And so you'd be quite justified translating it as a man instead of one man. But one man entered ace ten oikian into the house. Kai emenen, meno is the verb for to stay, to remain. He remained or stayed in the house. Hemeras triakonta kai mian, 31 days. With the days put first and then the number of them, 30 and 1. Okay, well that was all. A lot of stuff to cover. Probably should take a little break, give your minds a rest for a few minutes, and then we'll read Mark 11, 9 through 11. Let's turn then to Mark 11, verses 9 through 11. So page 128. And read a little bit of the account of the entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. Kai hoi proagontes, kai hoi akoluthuntes, ekratzon. Hosanna, eulogomenos, ha erkomenos, en onomati kuriu. Eulogomene, he erkomene, basileia tu patros, hemon, David. Hosanna en tois hupsistois. Kai eselfen, eis Jerusalem, eis to heron, kai perblepsamenos, panta. Hapsias, ede huses, tes horas, exelfen es bethanian, metaton dodeca. Okay, together. Kai hoi proagontes, kai hoi akolothuntes, ekratzon. Hosanna, eulogomenos, ha erkomenos, en onomati kuriu, eulogomene, he erkomene, basileia, to to Patras, Hemon, David, Hosanna, en tois hupsis tois, kai es elthen, es Yerusalema, es ta Heron, kai periblepsamenos panta, hopsias, ede uses, tes horas, ex elthen, es Bethanian, meta ton dodeca. Okay, let's see what sense you can make of that. So, kai hoi pro agontes, kai hoi akolothuntes ekratson. And with a bit of help from Dobson, tells us pro ago, I go in front, and ekratson, they shouted or they kept calling to call out. So, hoi pro agontes. Yeah, the ones going in front. Kai akolothuntes, remember akolotheo, and those following. So those going in front and those following, ekratzon, shouted out, kept calling out. This is as an imperfect. They were calling out, Hosanna, which we translate as Hosanna. And Hosanna is the Greek transliteration of Hoshiana from Psalm 118, which means, please save us. Psalm 118:25. And then became just an expression of praise, Hosanna. Eulogomenos, ha'erkomenos, en onomati kuriu. Eulogeo is to bless, literally to speak well, and then used of speaking well of somebody is to bless somebody. So eulogomene, he erkomene. Eulogomenos ha erkomenos, the one coming. Yep, so a participle of erkomai, to come or to go. Ha erkomenos is the one coming, the coming on. And eulogomenos, erkomenos en onomati kuriu, in the name of the Lord. And you're proclaiming eulogomenos. Eulogomenos, blessed. So it's another participle of eulogeo, blessed. And then in English we have to supply a linking verb, is. Blessed is the one coming in the name of the Lord. Now this is a direct quote from out of Psalm 118, but ha erkomenos then really becomes one of the titles for the Messiah, the coming one. This is what the Jews were expecting, the one who is coming. And so this is why Jesus asked the disciples, who do people say that I am? And they say, well, are you the one who is to come? And the one who is to come is ha erkomenos. And meaning by that, that's one of the titles of the Messiah. And then eulogomene, he erkomene basileia, to Patras, Hemon, David. So basileia, do you remember basileia?
Kingdom,
and it's he erkomene basileia, the coming kingdom, and we're proclaiming eulogomene. So blessed is the coming kingdom to Patras Hemon David of our father David. The kingdom of our father David, so this is Israel as a kingdom with a king reigning over it, which at this time the Jews didn't have because Rome was reigning over them. So they're looking forward to the day of it coming again, i.e. they have confidence that God is going to restore a kingdom to them, and they're proclaiming that that is blessed. And then Hosanna again. En tois hupsistois, and hupsistos is most high. Hupsistos, entois hupsistois in the highest places, meaning where God is in the high in the heavens. So Hosanna in the, this usually get translate Hosanna in the highest. Verse 11, Kai eselthen es Yerusalema. And okay, he went into Jerusalem, or he entered into Jerusalem, es ta Heron, to the temple, kai periblepsamenos panta. Mm-hmm. Okay, and looking around panta at all things, looking around at all things, periblepsamenos, an aorist participle, hopsias ede. So, and Dobson tells us opsia is late, ede already. So, opsias ede uses tes horas. Okay, the hour being already late. The uses there, that's a participle of Amy, on. Usa on here in the genitive, so the hour already being late. Exelthen, es Bethanian. Exelthen. He went out, es Bethanian, to Bethany, metaton dodeca, with the 12. Good. Okay, section, oh, and then I should, just as we, a little bit of word about the formatting of this particular edition of the Greek New Testament, the italics, Hosanna, eulogamenos, ha-erkamenos, and onnomati kyriou, that's how they indicate that this is a quotation from the Old Testament. They put that in italics. Your other edition there, Leland, they'll put that in bold, yeah, to indicate it's a quote. Essentially, yeah, they're generally quotes from the Septuagint, the Greek translation of the Old Testament, of the Hebrew. Yeah, and in this case from Psalm 118. Okay, section 9. This is a section we covered last week. Let's review it again. Grammatical terms for verbal forms. A note that this and then a comparable section in a couple of lessons' time are for reference. Don't expect to learn them all, but it's sort of language you will need to, be helpful to acquire as you go on. So we have mood. So verbs come with mood. Verbal forms which make a definite statement or question are called indicative. So lege, he says, eblethesan, they were thrown, en, he was going, or he was, and agomen, that's a question, are we going? These are all indicatives. So a definite statement. When we say, he says, they were thrown, he was, these are all things that definitely happened. Are we going is being viewed as something that is going to happen. Definite. Two, verbal forms which make an indefinite statement or question are called subjunctive. So these are sort of a stage removed from reality. So, for example, ean lege, if he says, well, that may or may not happen, the saying. So it's a level removed from definitely happening. Ean epe, if he should say, agomen, and then asked as a question, agomen, should we go? Let us go, and should we go? Let us go. Well, it hasn't yet happened. We actually don't know if it is going to happen. And then agomen as a question. Agomen as a question. Are we going? Well, it's probably going to happen. agomen as a question. Now we have a conditional element to it, which in English is conveyed by the should instead of the are. So it's a stage removed from reality. And that's put in the subjunctive. We call that the subjunctive mood.
Well, now I have two questions.
Yes.
The first one in the
indicative, lege.
The second word, that is a passive.
Yes. Eblethesan, they were thrown. Yes, that's a passive.
But it doesn't follow what we just learned, the ending.
Right, because we are going to, in the next lesson, lesson 32, we'll learn the aorist endings.
Oh,
yep, and that's an aorist.
Okay. Then, the agomen, mm-hmm. What is the verb for indicative for the this ago?
Ago. Ago.
Okay, just ago.
Mm-hmm. Ago. And so, here in the reading from Mark, we had proago, proagontes. Proago is to go before, in front of, and ago is something to go, or it can also be used of leading somebody else, you know, leading an animal along or something. Ago. Then number three, verbal forms which express a direct command are called imperative. We're all familiar with that. Poieson, do, exalthe, go out, das, give, ballet, keep throwing. We'll learn about imperatives in lessons 40 and 41. So I should point out for section, and in English we have imperatives. In English we also have subjunctives, but subjunctives are poorly understood. They're often misused. And there's a lot of confusion in English, and it's an endangered species. I don't think the subjunctive is going to survive very much longer. Failure of education there. Number four, verbal forms which express to are called infinitive. So poiein and poiesai. Poiein, the present infinitive. Poiesai, the aorist infinitive. Baptizesthai. And baptisthenai for the passive, baptisthai as a present passive infinitive, baptisthenai, aorist passive infinitive, which we'll learn next week there in the infinitive mood. And then a verbal form that can describe a noun is called a participle. So in this case, the verb, we call the verbal noun, and it functions, it behaves like a participle with case, number, and gender. So poion, present participle doing, poiesas, aorist participle, erkomenos, present, middle or passive participle, and baptisthes, the aorist participle, aorist passive participle. And these, so that's a participle is a verbal noun. If it's doesn't have the article, it's referring to the action. If it does have the article, it's the one doing the action. So that's the first element of verbs. They come with mood. Then we have tense. Forms which express continuing or repeated action are present. So poie, he does, poiomen, let us do, as a expressing a wish. Poiein as the infinitive, and poion as the participle. So there we have indicative, what we call the voluntative, the expressing a wish, infinitive, and participle, all in the present. Forms which express continuing or repeated action in the past are called imperfect. So epsilon is put on the front, and it uses the present stem. Epoie, erketa, ebaptizeta. Forms which express completed or single action are called aorist. So an epsilon on the front, and then using the aorist stem. So epoiesen, balomen, phagon, baptisthenai. So we've seen the various ways in which the aorist stem is formed. The first instance there, a sigma put on the end of the stem. Second instance, an abbreviated stem, bal with one of the lambdas dropping out. Third instance is a different stem. So phag from instead of esthe, and then baptisthenai is a middle or passive aorist, which we'll learn next week. Forms which express action in future time are called future. So poiesomen, adding a sigma to the end of the stem, elusontai, and esesthai, future. Forms which express action in the past which has a continuing result are called perfect. Pepoieka, gagraptai, gagrafthai, gagramenos, dedokin. We'll learn about them in lesson 33. Forms which express action in the past which had a continuing result which is also in the past are pluperfect, what we translate in English as with had. Pepistukein, I had trusted. Dedoke, he had given. We'll learn of those in lesson 49. So that's tense. And then we have voice. So active, middle, and passive voice. Forms which normally express action done by the subject, usually to someone or something else. And if it's done to someone or something else, that's when it's transitive. If it's not, if there's no someone, if there's no object, it's intransitive. But these are active. So ballo, ebalon, ballon, and so on. Forms which normally express action done to the subject by someone or something else is passive. So the subject is the recipient of the action. Balomai, I am being thrown, and so on. And then forms which normally express action done by the subject and involving the subject, rather than anyone else, are called middle, so with a reflexive idea. So urkamai, I come. Well, you're not doing that action to anybody else. Paruesthai, I travel. Prasukamai, I pray, and so on. Now, in terms of form, what we call the morphology, middle and passive have the same forms, the same set of endings. Right, so you don't have to learn separate middle and passive endings. So you put all that together, and for any verb, it has mood, tense, and voice. And that's how you define it. And then it also has number and gender, first plural and so on. So lege, you would say, which meaning he says, you'd say it's a present indicative active. And then if you wanted to fully specify, you'd add it's third person singular. And so that's what it means to parse a verb. So if I asked you to parse lege, that means you're going to define that verb in terms of its person, number, tense, mood, and voice. Epomen. The problem is we just don't learn our grammar. What we do have in English, there is mood. So there is indicative and subjunctive and imperative. There is voice. And we do have tense. Mm-hmm. And we have number. And we have gender. Mm-hmm. And we have person. For third person, we do.
Yeah.
Third person singular. He, she, or it. He says, she says, it says.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the ending is, but then we're at, yeah. Okay, you could say.
The endings
won't differ.
The endings won't differ. Words in English that change based on gender?
No.
Only the pronouns.
The pronouns, right. Just the pronouns change. Mm-hmm. Right. That's true. That's true. Yeah. Okay. We've got just a few minutes left. Let's quiz you a little bit. Progress test. Quiz one. Which of the following infinitives indicate continuing or repeated action? So let me just step through and ask you. Didaxai? Yes or no? So really this is this using a present stem or an aorist stem? Okay, that's an aorist stem. Didaskein? It's a present, yep. It's present infinitive, so it indicates continuing or repeated action, right? Elthane? Aorist, so that's So the answer to that would be no. Urkesthai? No, it's not aorist. It would be elf if it was aorist. So this is from Urkamai. So this is a present stem. So it would indicate continuing or repeated action. Agapan?
Present.
Okay, present. Zane? This is present from Za'o. It's the infinitive of Za'o. Present stem. So it does indicate continuing or repeated action. Prasuksasthai? Aorist, yeah. So prosukamai with a sigma added. Balane,
present,
infinitive. Yeah, it's got the full stem. Katabainane, present, present, infinitive. And katabenai, aorist, infinitive. Okay. And come here the other way around. Which of the following infinitives indicate single action? So which of these are aorist and which are present? So the single action will be the aorist infinitive. So karuksai? Aorist infinitive, good. Karusane? Present infinitive. So karuksai and karusane are the same verb. So karusane is the present infinitive and karuksai is the aorist. So another sigma has been added and that would give three sigmas in a row. And they all combine into a xi. Esthiane?
Present.
And phagane?
Aorist.
And they're the same verb. Grapsai? Aorist. From grapho. Arai?
Present.
No.
This is the pickup.
Yeah, this is the pickup or carry. This is an aorist from Aero. This is actually an abbreviated stem. Elthane? Aorist. That's the aorist infinitive. Urkesthai?
Present
infinitive. Same verbs. Balesthai?
Present.
And Blethenai. Don't know if you know enough. That's actually an aorist infinitive, but we'll learn.
Theta,
eta. Well, you'll see that next week, that theta, eta indicates an aorist. Okay, number three. Which of the following participles indicate continuing or repeated action? So which of these are present? Genomenos?
Present.
Genomenos. Well, which is which? So we have genomenos and genomenos.
So the A is aorist?
No, it's the other way around.
Oh, okay.
The verb is genomai.
Yeah.
So genomai in the present, and then gen. Gen is the present stem, gen is the aorist stem. Sotsontes? Sotsontes? Aorist. Sosontes? Actually, yeah, so there's two is the other way around. Sotso is the verb. Sotsontes is present, and sosontes is aorist. So in this case, sigma added to the end, to after the zeta, and they combine to give a sigma. Crinone?
Present,
good. Trachone?
Present.
Dramone?
Aorist.
Mm-hmm. Pascone, sufferer. That's present. And pathon,
aorist.
That's the same verb. Yeah, aorist of pasco. And perumenoi,
present.
And then which of the following are passive? Number four. Balane? Yeah.
So,
yeah, balothrow is, so balane is it active or passive? It's active, so it's an aorist infinitive, aorist active infinitive. Blethenai, so this is what blethenai must mean. It's the So you have a guess. You'd be able to have a better sense of this after next week's lesson. So this will be the passive infinitive of balo. So blethena, aorist, passive infinitive, to be thrown. Baptizomai is, so that's passive. And baptizo, active. Baptizain, active. Baptizestai, passive. E baptiste, e baptiste, that's passive. Theta eta, which you're going to learn next week, is distinctive of the aorist passive. E baptisen, e baptisen, active. Baptizomenos, passive. And baptizon, active. Good. Do number 5. Egenito anthropos apestelmenos paratheu onoma auto Ioannes. So which is the best English translation? A man was sent from God whose name was John. Or there was a man, he had been sent by God, his name was John. Or a man came who had been sent by God, his name was John. So all three are, this really has to do with which is the most idiomatic or the best sounding form. So what it literally is, agenita, the agenita anthropos, there was a man, and then we're told apostelmenos is a participle agreeing with anthropos, astelmenos, apestelmenos, sent from God, onoma auto Ioannes, his name was John, apestelmenos. It'll be aorist, aorist, passive, participle, nominative, masculine, singular. So, well, if we do a man was sent from God whose name was John, then we really haven't done anything with agenita. C would, a man came who had been sent by God. That really is getting the idea of the agenita. So B, well, there was a man, he had been sent by God, his name was John. It's a little too choppy and good, yeah, good news Bible. And the point of it is, with having a genita, it's not just, well, there was a man, but that he came, he arrived on the scene, which is what C is conveying. A man came who had been sent by God, his name was John. Well, we didn't get to the reading from 1 John 1. Perhaps you could look at that this week and see what you can make of that. And next week we'll move on to lesson 32, in which we learn the aorist form, the aorist stem for middle and passive verbs.